Hello, everyone, and welcome to a very special edition of the interview show. My name is Jerome Cusan. We're going to get very quickly into the interview with our very special guest here tonight, Kevin Steen, the Ring of Honor champion, former PWG champion, 2CW champion, and zoo enthusiast. We'll be on in just a couple moments. I want to mention our new affiliate program with HighSpots.com, one of the finest purveyors of content in the world of professional wrestling. We would encourage you to use the banner that is on our website to purchase PWG, CZW, shoot interviews, including two with our guest tonight. And you will be supporting not only some of the great companies that are on High Spots, but also Pro Wrestling Ponderings. So do that, folks. Thank you for the continued support, as for the lead it, for listening and reading of our articles. Let's get right into things with Kevin Steen. Joining me on the line right now is a man who needs no introduction, but I'm going to give him one anyway. He is the Ring of Honor champion, former PWG champion, and perhaps most importantly, a zoo enthusiast. He is Kevin Steen.
I'm also a 2CW champion. I'd like to mention that one as well.
Fair enough. 2CW champion as well. He is Kevin Steen, and he is on the line. How you
Hello,
doing?
Internet world. I'm doing good. I'm pretty tired, as you can hear, but I think I'll live. And if I stop answering questions, it's because I passed out on my couch.
I think you'd be the first guest to do that, so that's a little history for our website.
Hey,
so
I like to be the first one to do many things, so maybe we'll go that way. We'll see.
Let's see if we can get you a little bit excited by talking about PWG, which...
Yeah, that's a good start. You know, when I do interviews sometimes, like, people on the internet send me interviews to do or whatever, like written interviews, and it's always the same questions to start. I actually tried doing one earlier today, which was, it started with, what made you want to be a wrestler? And I've answered that a million times. So I skipped it. I decided not to do that interview. And then I went to another interview, and the first question was, why did you want to be a wrestler? So I skipped that one, too. And then I went to a third one, and the first question was, what made you want to be a wrestler? So I skipped all those interviews. So starting off with some PWG stuff is definitely a good decision.
HighSpots.com, SmartMarkVideo.com, you've done two big shoot interviews where you answer this question and so many more, so...
Yeah, I mean, even up for those, I was on the podcast with Colt, Art of Wrestling, and I talked about how I started, and I've done countless written interviews all over the internet where I started, and on my website, I had a bio that I'd written up myself that said how I started. It's just such a boring question. I mean, I think anybody who's reading stuff about me at this point knows how I got my start, so, you know, I don't know. Anytime I get an interview, the question's in there, but at this point, I've just decided not to answer, not to bother answering it anymore.
Yes, so the memo to future interviewers, don't ask Kevin how he got started in wrestling. It's been answered
just
a million
come up
times.
Just come up with cool questions, like, and especially doing written interviews is kind of boring in the first place. So answering the same questions over and over, like, who's your favorite, who's the guy you'd like to wrestle, who, you know, just stuff like that is just so painfully boring, and I've had it. I just don't want to do those anymore. So now I have, like, four people that are waiting on interviews that I've told them I was going to send the answers back. Now if they listen to this, they're going to find out that I've deleted all of those interviews today because they all started the same way, and I just didn't feel like doing them. So sorry, folks.
Well, now people know. You're also informing our listenership about what not to ask him.
I wasn't gonna inform them of this either. So now I'm taking this chance. If they're listening to this podcast, I'm not gonna be sending those answers back, fellas.
Are there any other questions that you're tired of answering?
Yeah, I mean, I even said on Twitter the other day, I was doing a little Q&A. Like I said, I'm the whole like, who's your favorite opponent or. Who, you know, if you could pick anybody to wrestle, who would it be? I just find those questions so, first of all, they're so repetitive, and also it's just so, you know, it's too hard to answer in the first place because I can't, who's my favorite opponent? I could literally go on for a half hour talking about who I love to wrestle, and if you could pick anybody, what do you mean if I could pick anybody? Like, I'd love to wrestle Larry David. He's not a wrestler, but you could pick anybody. It's just such a silly question. I don't know. I just don't, those are the main ones, those and, you know, how'd you get your start, or what made you want to be a wrestler, and stuff like that, or the famous, why do you love wrestling? That's just so silly, like, who can answer that shit?
All right, so let's talk about things that actually happened. And I want to start by talking about DDT4 from this past January, where you got to wrestle with El Generico. Three last matches with Generico. I don't know if this is a terrible question, but what were your emotions going throughout that night, having to wrestle three times, wrestling with someone who you've been connected with pretty much for 10 years?
Yeah, I mean, anybody who saw the DVD can see at the end that I was pretty emotional, and it was just that way the whole night, honestly, because not only was it maybe the last time we ever get the team or work together in any way, shape, or form, but it was also we wrestled the Briscoes, which we had, as a team we had a lot of history with, and then we wrestled O'Reilly and Cole, who we didn't have necessarily history with, but I lost the PWG title to Cole, so that was, pretty intense as well. And then in the finals, we wrestled the Bucks, I would say, as far as Generico and I are concerned, along with the Briscoes, it's probably the tag team that we had our most memorable matches against and created the most memorable moments with. So, having to say goodbye to a guy that, like you said, your career has been linked to for so long, it wasn't easy, honestly. And I'm very lucky to have had the chance to share my career with him for as long as I did. And I, hopefully our paths will cross again down the line. Who knows?
So I mentioned there were some questions from Dr. Keith, and I think this is a good time to ask this one. What did you whisper in Generico's ear besides, you know what kind of payday you could have gotten for your mask?
I mean, I didn't ask that, but I honestly don't remember what we said to each other. I know there was just a lot of, I told him good luck with all the kids in Mexico, and I have one kid who, by the way, is about to make, I think, a run-in in this interview because he just walked downstairs right now. Owen, say hello. Say hello.
Hello.
All right, there's Owen, his podcast debut. And, I told him, I have a kid. I know how hard it is. I can't imagine what having 20 orphans depending on you in Mexico is going to be like. But good luck. And if you ever need me, I will not come to your rescue because I have my own kid to take care of. So I remember saying that. But besides that, I'm not too sure what we were saying to each other. I don't remember. It's a little blurry. The emotions,
Absolutely. And I want to talk about this weekend, All-Star Weekend. Two opponents, two very different and unique opponents, Paul London, AR Fox. So why don't you talk a little bit about Paul London? I believe the only time you've wrestled him is in a tag, correct?
I actually wrestled him in singles once in Quebec City in 2011, I believe. It might have been 2010, actually. Or no, 2011, I think. Anyhow... Yeah, it was in a local promotion in Quebec City, about 2 hours from my house, and they brought Paul down, and we were actually the opener for the show, which is kind of funny, considering, the talent the names involved. Paul London's a gigantic star. Give me a second, Mike, you need something from me. Yeah.
Fair enough.
So I wrestled Paul London in Quebec City, and we were the opener, actually, which is kind of funny, considering, it's Paul London, and, on this show... not to brag or anything, but, Paul London and I were by far the biggest names. Not by far, Generico was on the show as well, and he probably ended up being the main event against the champion, a local guy. But anyhow, we opened the show up, and it was honestly one of my most memorable matches for me of that year. And it's kind of funny because I don't remember which year it was, but I'm pretty sure it was, now that I think about it, 2011. And it was just, first of all, such a blast to wrestle Paul because I'd never had the chance, besides that one tag match we had done at PWG, to work with him at all. And to get to wrestle him, the crowd was, red hot because it was, me versus Paul London, but it was also because it was opener, so they were ready to have a blast. And Paul actually wore the most ridiculous outfit I've ever seen in a wrestling ring, I think. It consisted of it was basically a figure skater, not a figure skater, but one of the, at the Olympics, like the speed skating thing.
Yes.
He was wearing one of those. Somebody gave him one with the Quebec City colors. They're the white and blue and like silver. There's some silver on there. And he just looked crazy. And he came out to this classical music remix, like of a Beethoven piece, and then he took literally 4 minutes to walk around the crowd and high-five everybody he could while I was standing in the ring before the match started. It was just a real fun night, a real fun match. And, I mean, after the match, Bolin paid me probably the biggest compliment I've ever received in wrestling by just looking at me and saying, hey, you're a phenomenal wrestler, which I mean, I'm saying this now and it sounds like I'm patting myself on the back, and I guess I am, because getting compliments like that from your peers, especially when it's somebody like Paul London, means a lot. So I definitely look forward to wrestling him at PWG, where it's going to be seen by a lot more people, and it's going to have a lot more eyes on just because of what the product is and where it's taking place. And, you know, me versus Paul London in front of a Reseda crowd sounds like a perfect recipe to me, so it should be a blast.
Yeah, the Reseda crowd, not the typical wrestling crowd. I think they're really going to love it.
Yeah, it's going to be really fun. And, you know, it's Paul's first time in PWG in years at this point, so it's definitely going to be interesting.
So sort of on the other end of the spectrum, Paul London's a guy who's, you know, been around the block, and you're sort of wrestling a guy. It's his first weekend at PWG. He's been making a lot of waves in DGUSA, Evolve, CZW, AR Fox. I guess this is sort of a dream match that PWG gets a chance to deliver. And your thoughts on getting to wrestle someone like him?
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to that as well. I definitely don't think it could happen anywhere else. And when PWG announced All-Star Weekend, they were faced with a daunting task to find a lineup that would make people excited for the shows and kind of forget at the same time that Generico's not around anymore. And, you know, with the influence that this guy's had, like Generico's had on PWG shows for so long, and the matches he's put on, and just, you know, how his name was synonym with PWG for so long, I felt like that was going to be a little rough. But they obviously, you know, went all out and pulled out all the stops. And I want to say I pushed a little for AR Fox to get on the shows, and then, you know, there wasn't need for much pushing. Super Dragon was already, like, you know, pretty interested in bringing him in, and, you know, they made it work, and now I get to wrestle him. And what I've seen of AR Fox is incredibly impressive and incredibly dangerous, which sounds great to me. Like I said, people are actually concerned a little bit about one of us suffering severe injury, more him than me, I think. But, you know, I'll make sure to try not to disappoint anybody and, you know, provide the major injury that they are all looking for.
Everybody thinks AR Fox is going to do something stupid off the stage. That's the speculation.
Hey, I am, you know, if he wants to try and use the stage to his advantage, I'll gladly make him realize it's a terrible decision. And I'm really looking forward to that as well. It should be just a fun weekend. And it's not just even my matches. There's so many great matches. It's pretty ridiculously loaded weekend. And it's just going to be a blast once these DVDs come out. Just like every time, let's be honest, every time PWG puts out a DVD, it's kind of a must-see. So this won't be any different. And it's going to be awesome.
As someone who likes to do commentary on PWG shows, what are some of the matches that you want to call?
Honestly, if I could, I think I'd call every single match. At this point, I think I prefer doing commentary to actually wrestling, because I have a blast doing it. And with Excalibur, it's, you know, even better, because now I've started doing it in other promotions as well. I did it for PWX in Charlotte. And I did it for the promotion, same promotion that brought Paul London to wrestle me in Quebec City, NSPW, just last weekend. But in PWG, it's just a different, you know, it's a whole different atmosphere. And it's, you know, I'm having a blast with my buddy Excalibur. And the wrestling is just on another level there. So it's just such a blast. But I always make it a point of doing commentary on the Young Bucks matches, because I probably, as vicious a feud as I've had with them over the years, I'm probably the biggest Young Bucks fan out there. And I love their matches. And, you know, I've said this a million times in interviews in the past. I'm a wrestling fan. I'm a huge wrestling fan still. I love watching wrestling, and the Young Bucks are at the top of the list for me as far as whose matches I want to see. So doing commentary on those is great. And I'm definitely interested by the Ricochet and Rich Swann versus AR Fox and Samurai Del Sol match is going to happen. Roderick Strong versus Trent Beretta is very interesting. There's just Sammy Callahan versus Trey Younger is going to be insane. I already called it, actually. The minute they announced it, I wrote on Twitter, that I was going to do commentary for that one. And just any match I can squeeze myself in. I know Chuck Taylor's there this weekend, so I'm sure he's going to want to get some matches for commentary as well. And there's Rick Knox that does them sometimes. And if we don't let Roderick do a couple, he complains all night. So, you know, hopefully I can get a good number in. But I don't know. Young Bucks and definitely Sammy versus Drake. I'm going to be doing commentary for those for sure.
Do you have any favorite interactions that you've had with Excalibur in your commentary?
Yeah, Generico once hit a top rope moonsault dive to the outside. And I guess, I didn't know this, but Excalibur's been calling that particular dive the big boy for years. But I didn't know why, and I didn't know this. So when Generico hit it, Excalibur said, "Al Generico is a big boy," and it just killed me. I had a hard time breathing. I had tears.
I think I remember this.
Because I never heard it. It just sounded like he was. It sounded like Generico was four, and he managed to do potty for the first time in the toilet. That's like it just slaughtered me. And I also made him laugh a lot once. I actually don't remember what it was about. I think it was. There's something about Dusty Rhodes' vagina, I'm pretty sure, that got him to take his headsets off, and he was, like, laughing a lot. I think it was maybe during the first match of Steen Wolf, where Generico and I had that ladder match. I think it was part of that match. I'm pretty sure there was a Dusty Rhodes and a vagina involved in whatever made him lose it. But just good. It's such a good time.
I believe Excalibur called Adam Cole Michael Cole, and that... That killed
that happened else. Too, yes, that happened, it was during Elgin versus Cole in the finals of Bola. He called him Michael Cole, and I tried not to, you know, let him not forget about that one. But, it's such a good time. It's like anything else with PWG, you know. We're having a blast doing it, and I think people have a blast hearing us do it. Because I think in the end, and I've said this before too in other interviews, wrestling is about having fun, and if the fans see us having fun, they're going to have fun. So, doing commentaries.
I mean, you don't have to sell me. I mean, I buy the PWG DVDs. I actually had a chance to go to a show last May to see my first ever one. So, I love the company, and I don't think I've ever seen a PWG show that I haven't recommended, and I've been doing these for, like, 4 years now. So
awesome.
So, I want to talk about Chikara a little bit because you've made some appearances there. I do want to mention, you know, we do have the Ring of Honor champion. We're going to get to a little bit of Ring of Honor talk, but Kevin Steen does a lot of talking about Ring of Honor and sort of the current state on the High Spots interview that you did with Davey Richards that you can go to High Spots. So if you want to hear a lot of Ring of Honor talk, that is the place to go. And
I think it's available for, you don't even have to get the DVD now. I think it's available for download on as an MP4 file for like $10. And like I said on Twitter yesterday, actually, or was it this morning, I think I'm getting a lot of good feedback on it, on that particular interview with me and Davey, and I think if people give it a shot, they will see Davey in a different light after it, and they will understand him a little better, because I feel like after stuff that's happened last year, people not turned on Davey necessarily, but just kind of viewed Davey a certain way. And I feel like if they listen to him and they watch him in this particular interview, it'll hopefully change their opinion of him for the better, because he's a good dude and he loves wrestling and he gives it his all every time he's out there. So he deserves, in my opinion, he deserves people's respect. But anyway, that's another topic for another time. I just wanted to throw that out there while we're talking about this.
Definitely. And go to highspots.com through the link on our website. You can support both Kevin Steen and Pro Wrestling Pondering. So everyone wins buy the DVD through our link on the website. So
good stuff.
So let's talk about Chikara. I know that you talked a lot about them on the Smart Mark shoot and Mike Quackenbush. But, you know, you've had a chance to work a few times, you know, against Eddie Kingston. You wrestled in the Cibernetico. In the sparse appearances you've made, has your perception of Chikara changed at all over the last year or so?
Yeah, I mean, Cibernetico was actually one of the most fun times I had in a wrestling ring last year. The crowd was crazy, and the match was crazy, and just being, you know, so many guys in the same match, it was just so much fun, and it was a great experience. I really enjoyed it, and getting to go back in early February for those matches with me and the Bucks, You know, like I said, I'm a huge fan of theirs, so getting a team with them is obviously a lot of fun as well against Kipo and Akuma. And then the next night, me versus Kingston, I had a blast for doing all those shows. And it did change my... I mean, I knew Chikara was obviously doing something really good, and it built itself up to something that's really interesting and it's different, and it's successful. Everybody see that. So, it's nothing. How could I say? It's changed so much since I did those shows several years ago, where I said "motherfucker" as loud as I could, and I created all this whole thing. And I never really cared to return after that incident, because I felt, for various reasons, and I've talked about them in the shoots, like I said, like, you know, I heard some stuff and it was kind of annoying, and I don't think they wanted to bring me back anyway. But now that this has happened, I can honestly say, and they know this, I've already told them, I'm open to returning anytime, the schedule works and it works for them, because I had a blast during those shows. And, you know, like I just said, wrestling for me has always been about having fun, and if I had a ton of fun there, so... And it's, honestly, it's just great, and it's very, it's kind of different for me, too, because of the environment and the, you know, the no swearing and, the rules they have. I literally have to keep myself in check, and it's very difficult, but it's also very challenging and fun. So, I'm always down to go back. They know this, and it'll happen. I mean, I'm going to put this out there. I've already told them, Chikara management, that I think this needs to happen. But I think me and the Bucks as a team in the Trios tournament, whenever it happens, would be great. So let's see if it happens.
Yeah.
I just put it out there publicly. So everybody, please bother Chikara about us being a Trios at, King of Trios. I think it would be a blast.
Yeah, when you tried to do the flip with I can't remember if it was Nick or Matt. I think
Matt. Yeah, it didn't work out so good. Nick was actually kind of upset with me, but whatever.
I think you killed some fans dead from the laughter in you trying to do that.
I mean, I don't know. It's just a back roll. It was simple enough, but sometimes things don't work out the way you plan them, and sometimes it actually ends up being better than if you had done it perfectly. So there we go,
Absolutely. So I know that you mentioned the Cibernetico, but I sort of want to talk about the Kingston feud specifically.
Sure.
Because I don't think you've really talked about this in a lot of other places. And now that it's wrapped up, how do you feel about the feud? And it sort of was hot and cold through two companies, and you wrestled in a bunch of different matches.
I think it could have been a lot more than it was, but, it was Ring of Honor and Chikara. We had to work within the boundaries of both companies, and I think we did the best we could with it. But I definitely think that Eddie and I could do something a lot more, I want to say emotional, but that's not the word I'm looking for. I think we could do something a lot deeper than what we did, and who knows, there's nothing that says that we won't get to eventually, but I still think what we did, through the two promotions over the few shows that we ended up working together, which there was one, the Chikara afternoon show when they did the double shot with Ring of Honor, and also there was the confrontation of Ring of Honor in New York City, and then, we had Cibernetico, and then we had the title match in earlier this month, or last month, I should say. I think we made it work, and we did the best we could, and I think it was still a lot of fun, and the matches ended up being a lot of fun, too. So, like I said, could have been deeper, could have been more intricate, but I think it worked. I think what we did worked just fine.
Definitely, and I do want to talk about some Ring of Honor stuff, because I think one of the recent matches that you had was with Jay Lethal, and Jay Lethal takes a lot of guff from Ring of Honor fans for whatever reason. And I want to ask, since you were just recently in the ring with him, do you feel like Jay Lethal gets enough credit from Ring of Honor fans?
No. I mean, our past issues aside, Jay Lethal is a fantastic wrestler. And I knew that he was good. I've known he was good for years because I saw him wrestle and... I never followed his career closely or anything when he was on TNA or stuff like that, but I knew he was obviously a capable guy. But then I wrestled him for the first time in a singles match in New Jersey, in October of last year, and he honestly blew me away at how good he was in the ring. And then again in Chicago earlier in the month, this month, he's just fantastic for us, or great talent, and he can go, man. He kept me, he kept me on my toes. I don't know if that's even the right expression. But I was really, I had to work hard in those matches, and that's because Jay Lethal's a great pro wrestler, and I don't think he gets enough credit. But I think that's true of a lot of people, and I don't think it's necessarily Ring of Honor fans. I think it's just wrestling fans in general. But maybe I'm biased, you know? Maybe I feel this way because I have so much respect for a lot of these guys, and I feel like, why aren't people, you know, loving these dudes, or why aren't people saying how great these guys are? Maybe they are, you know. Maybe people are giving them the credit that they're due, and I'm just, being partial. I feel like they should get more credit. I don't know, but I definitely feel like the world needs to know, and you know, I don't know how they wouldn't know by watching him. But the wrestling fans need to know Jay Lethal's an amazing pro wrestler, and I'm glad I'm still Ring of Honor World Champion because he came pretty close.
Absolutely, and you know, I think you mentioned so many guys not getting credit. Do you feel like because of the atmosphere, you know, with everything being so separated and everybody going for their particular audience, do you feel like that's one of the reasons that, you know, guys like A.R. Fox and Jay Lethal and Johnny Gargano maybe aren't getting the credit that they deserve?
I don't know about Jay, honestly, because he's been featured in promotions that get a lot of attention, but I feel like those dudes, like you mentioned, A.R. Fox, Gargano, guys like that, I feel like they don't wrestle where a lot of people see them. And I know this is going to bother some people because of where they wrestle, but, you know, this is the way I feel. I'm not trying to insult anybody, but I feel like there's not enough eyes on them. And I feel like them wrestling in PWG is going to open, I think, a lot of people's eyes because, I don't know, like for me and Nerico, PWG was our, like, this is where we got discovered. It really is. We did CCW and that was big. We, you know, a lot of people were curious about us after that CCW match we did with the IWS crew. But then PWG booked us and started using us regularly. And, you know, on a regular basis, every month we were putting on good matches there. And people were noticing it because people care about PWG and people seek, like, PWG is one of the rare companies that people seek out, like, go out of their way to read the results and read people's reviews of the show and get the DVD and you know, like, watch the shows. So I feel like those guys wrestling there now, hopefully it turns into something regular for them. I don't know if it will, it might not, but if they do good, you know, PWG is one of the smartest companies around. If they see somebody rocking it, they are going to come back. So if those guys do good, which I'm sure they will, they most likely will come back, and people will see them, and people will care more about them, and people will seek their workout. And then I feel that's going to be a good way for them to just get more credit, more respect, and for people to just know them more. And again, like I said, I'm sure I'm going to upset some people here, but that's just the way I feel. I just feel like those guys, as good as they are, there's not enough people that know about them. And I feel like PWG can change that for them. So hopefully I'm right.
So to prevent you from further getting in trouble, let's just say Ring of Honor is not an independent promotion for the sake of this question. Do you feel like among the indies, PWG is the measuring stick for any wrestler who wants to sort of make it?
Yeah, I mean, I'll even say that. I wasn't saying Ring of Honor. I think if those guys were in Ring of Honor, they would have plenty of attention. That's
of course. I know who you were referencing. I'm trying to save you.
I don't care. I think DGUSO is great, and I think they have great shows, and those guys bust their asses. But I just think for some reason, it just hasn't caught on, and it might. And maybe I'm wrong. That's just the way I feel. But again, I could be wrong. Maybe it has caught on, and a lot more people are watching it than I think. And I hope so, because I like everybody that works there. So you know what I mean? But definitely. I feel like it's not getting as much attention as PWG would. So that's why I'm saying that I think PWG could definitely be a big proving ground for them in a way. So I would say so. I mean, if you can, like, I think if you can't, if you go to PWG and you can't get the fans behind you and you can't get the fans to enjoy what you're doing, you're probably in trouble if you're a wrestler, because they are craving pro wrestling. They crave fun and entertainment, and they crave, like, they want to cheer you. They want to applaud you. They want to love you. So if you go there and you don't manage to do that, man, I don't know, maybe rethink what you're doing. I don't know. You know, that's the way I feel. I mean, I've seen a wrestler go out and have a match at PWG and then complain on, like, the internet about how unpleasant the fans were during his match. Hey, man, have a better match, because these people literally just want to have a great time and go nuts. And the fans weren't even bad for that match. They were fine. They weren't crazy, but they were respectful. They paid attention. They watched. But, you know, that's just, I don't know. I guess people just see things differently. But that's the way I feel. If you can't get over in PWG, you're in trouble, in my opinion.
I mean, I've heard it said about those fans that, you know, they're not even necessarily independent wrestling fans. They're PWG fans who just like to watch crazy wrestling. So,
yeah, it's not even just crazy wrestling. They just like wrestling. You just got to do something that grabs them, and I personally feel they're very easily grabbed. I mean, I never have a problem. They're into my matches from the start, and they're into most people's matches from the start. They want to be in the matches. They go there to be a part of the match. So anyway, and I think that's what makes PWG so special, and that's why I feel if those guys rock it there, then it's just going to help everybody in the end. So,
definitely. So let's get back to Ring of Honor here. You're going to have a chance to wrestle both Briscoes, assuming you beat Mark in Asheville on March 30th. You've obviously had tremendous history with both guys. You know, the Ladder Wars and all that stuff in Ring of Honor and PWG. But thoughts on getting to wrestle these guys again in singles?
Yeah, I'm actually really excited about both matches. I've one of my favorite singles matches in Ring of Honor in that first year, and still to this day, I really enjoy it. I made a point of getting, when Ring of Honor made those compilation DVDs of me, I made a point of telling them to put that match on the DVD. Is me versus Mark Briscoe from a show in Boston, or, I don't know, Roxbury, near Boston, whatever. And it was like a little 10-minute match, but man, I just had such a blast in that match. And I haven't watched it in a while, but I remember when I watched it, I really, really enjoyed it. And, so now I get to have an even, it's even more high profile because it's for the Ring of Honor World title. So I'm really looking forward to that. And then New York City against Jay Briscoe, that's a big deal every time, you know, anytime we're in New York City. And I honestly can't think of a better challenger than Jay Briscoe for this one, because I think Jay Briscoe embodies what ROH is and has been about for, you know, since its inception, and it's, you know, Jay Briscoe brings a lot out of me, and I'm really looking forward to both those matches, and I'm, you know, just like I'm looking forward to wrestling Cole in Canada in May, and Whitmer in June. It's just, I got a lot of big matches lined up, and I plan on making all of those count, you know.
So why don't you talk a little bit about the match with Adam Cole? Obviously, you've wrestled him in PWG. It's going to be a little bit different when you're at Border Wars. But, you know, Adam Cole is a guy who's, you know, one of the best talents in independent wrestling. And, you know, I think that this is sort of your opportunity to really showcase what you can do against someone like Cole, and your thoughts on getting a chance to wrestle someone who has gotten so good so fast.
He's amazing, but I feel, honestly, and again, maybe this is me patting myself on the back a little too much, but I don't care. I feel the way I feel. I feel like our stuff in PWG has helped elevate him in a way, in a lot of people's eyes, and obviously him beating me for the belt was a big deal. And I feel, you know, I really want as good of a job as he's doing for himself in Ring of Honor now, I really want to make that one special and help elevate him in people's eyes in Ring of Honor as well. I do not want him to beat me for the belt this time, however, so I'm going to find a way to do that without losing the title part. But, and, you know, Cole, anybody who's been watching Cole over the last year sees that this guy is developing at an incredible rate and just getting more comfortable every time he wrestles. And he's a future. You know, let's put it this way. It's pretty simple, but it's true.
Is there anything better than heel Adam Cole in PWG?
I don't know, man. He's one of the guys I really enjoy watching as well. It's just such a shame he beat me for the belt, so now it's kind of a sore subject, but just fantastic. I remember I was doing commentary for his matches at the Ebola, and he had never been, he had never let that dickish side of him come out before. I guess he had been doing it in CZW, but I don't see any CZW stuff, so when he came out for his match against Jericho in the first round of Ebola and was acting like that, it blew me away, honestly. And I think you can hear it on commentary. I did not expect it. But, man, it was awesome. It was great. And the next night against Elgin in the finals, he was just that was a fantastic weekend for him. And it was, the start of something big for him in PWG. So maybe he needs to bring a little bit of that in Ring of Honor. Who knows? And
I think people desperately want to see that side of him, I think.
Hey, I I'm all for it. Let's see if I can bring it out of him.
And BJ Whitmer's a guy who, he's been around and, he's come back. And it's hard to think of bad matches that this guy's had. I mean, I've seen him in so many places just have unbelievable matches against a wide variety of people. So I know that, you've wrestled him before in Dayton, but obviously this is a bigger deal.
Yeah, definitely. And BJ, he's just, if you want to talk about somebody with heart, that guy's got a ton. And, he's also a veteran. He's been doing this for so long, and he's so respected. And, I look at him, and he's probably one of the toughest opponents I have for the belt, but I'm ready for him. And, again, I plan on making all those matches special and meaningful. And BJ Whitmer, he's as worthy a challenger as any I've had, so I'm looking forward to that as well.
So in the myriad of shoot interviews and various interviews you've done, you've been asked a ton of stuff, but I want to get your thoughts on a company that runs here locally in Chicago, where I'm from, Resistance Pro. One of the reasons that I was so excited to see those first couple shows was to get a chance to see guys like you and Colt and Generico and in a different atmosphere. And I don't think anyone's really asked you about your thoughts on the company and sort of what happened. So wherever you want to take this, sort of your thoughts wrestling for Billy Corgan and wrestling someone like Harry Smith.
Yeah, I mean, I only did two shows for them, the first two shows, and I had a blast on both. I remember in the first one, I wrestled Harry, and I don't know if you guys caught what just happened, but my parents were watching TV, and there was a murderous, blood-curdling scream a second ago.
I didn't hear that.
Okay, I don't know if you guys got that, but it was ridiculous. I felt like I had to stop and talk about it, just so people don't think somebody's getting murdered right now. It's only going to happen later. Everybody's fine. That was just the TV. Anyway, so now, I only did the first two shows of Resistance Pro, and I had a blast in both. The first night, the first time was me versus Harry Smith, and I had worked with Harry, in, I want to say 2005, 2006 maybe, at Jersey All Pro for one show, and that was before he went to WWE, and it was, it was a thrill to wrestle him, because I was actually a, like, my first favorite wrestler was the British Bulldog when I was a kid. Because I've talked about this before, it kind of goes back to the terrible what made you want to be a wrestler question, but I guess we'll touch on it now that I'm bringing this up. My dad rented a tape of WrestleMania 11, and I watched it with him, and that's what made me want to be a wrestler, just watching these guys and ultimately Shawn Michaels and just seeing him do what he does. But the first match had British Bulldog in it. And I immediately said, this guy's awesome. He's my favorite wrestler. Until Shawn Michaels came on later, then Shawn Michaels became my favorite wrestler. So British Bulldog was like number one for about 2.5 hours, and number two for quite a while, and I always enjoyed his work. So getting to wrestle his son was pretty cool, especially also since around 2000, maybe, I want to say, on my satellite dish here, I got a channel from Edmonton, I want to say, that carried, it was called the A Channel. I don't know if it was Edmonton or Calgary or whatever, but it carried Stampede Wrestling. So I got to see matches with Harry Smith in front of small crowds on small Stampede shows when he was a teenager. And I would watch them because I, you know, at that point I was watching all the wrestling I could watch, and I'd watch Stampede every week, and I'd see Harry Smith in action. So getting to wrestle him was kind of cool, you know. And it was, you know, not many people really heard about that match. It wasn't, you know, anything to write home about. It was good, solid, but I always wanted to get to work with him more, and then he went to WWE, so it couldn't happen. But then when Resistance Pro booked us against each other, I was real excited until I got there and saw how gigantic Harry was. Like, I knew he was a big guy, and he was already a big guy when I wrestled him in 05 or 06, but man, he seems so much bigger. And I made the decision immediately to not even try to lift him, not even once in the match. But it ended up working out good anyway, and I think we had a fun match, and I really had a blast wrestling him. And then, I don't know, it ended up, I think, a count out or something like that, and which led to the next night, or the next show, I should say, myself, Harry, and The Sheik in a three-way. Which was pretty interesting. I never wrestled The Sheik before, and I saw Harry Smith kind of lose his mind because he saw blood, like his blood came out of his nose in an exchange with him and The Sheik, and literally Harry went into another world, like on another planet, started beating the shit out of Sheik until The Sheik left the ring, like physically just like, fuck this. And I remember I was in the corner for it and thought, man, I'm really glad I'm not the one who got blood out of Harry's nose. It's kind of scary, honestly, but because Harry's a fucking big guy, and when he gets pissed, he gets pissed. But that was fun too. I remember Tara of TNA fame, Victoria, there was at the show and heckling during my match with Harry that first time, and I got to tell her to shut the fuck up, which was pretty funny. Got a good little reaction, and then the next show, the show after, during that three-way, for some reason there was children. All around there was a lot of kids, like 7 or 8 kids were right up against that little first balcony. If you were at the shows, you know what I'm talking about. And they loved me. And through the whole match, their little voices chanted my name. And it was just so weird and fun. So I have definitely good memories of those shows. Also, Raven basically complaining about everything was kind of funny. I don't know. I really had good memories. And working for Billy Corgan was actually awesome. You know, I listened to his music growing up, and my wife is a huge fan of his. So when I got to, you know, I got to hang out with him, talk with him, take a picture with him, and we actually, you know, I wouldn't say we're best buds or anything, but we're friends now. We, you know, they came to Montreal. I got to go see the concert, go to hang out with him, and that was really cool. That's a thrill for sure. He's a huge rock star, and it was great to, you know, get to know him through Resistance Pro. So I honestly don't have, I have nothing but good to say about the company, and I wish I had kept wrestling there, but for whatever reason, it didn't pan out. And I honestly am not too sure how they're doing now or what they're doing, because I don't really follow it that much. But, you know, I wish them all the luck in the world, because I had fun when I was over there. And I feel like if people do good at wrestling, in wrestling, then it's good for wrestling, for everybody.
Everybody needs a good payday, so.
Absolutely.
So, one final question, and it's a little bit of a serious one, because I want to ask, I know that you changed your Twitter handle from Killsteen Kill to Fightsteen, I think it's Fightsteen Fight now,
yeah.
And I sort of know the reason, but for those who might not know, why don't you talk a little bit about why you changed your Twitter handle, because I think this is a really good story.
Yeah, I think I mentioned it on the shoot with Davey, didn't I? Basically what happened was there was the shooting in Connecticut there in the school, and you know, it was, everybody felt the same way about it. It's incredibly disheartening and just gut-wrenching, and how can shit like that happen? And that's when it started, you know, dawning on me that word kill, you know, it's kind of thrown around maybe a little too loosely, and you know, in a weird way it worked for me. Fans liked it, and it really caught on, but, and you know, nobody ever expected me to kill anybody, but it was just a thing I said, and it caught on. I mean, originally, it was literally just a Twitter handle, and people started chanting it, so it's not like I was using it. It just, you know, fans kind of rode with it, and it was good, and, you know, it sold a lot of t-shirts, which was great for me, and, you know, it was, you know, it was, it worked for me. But like I said, when that happened, you know, I was pretty hard. And then I remember after Final Battle, after that ladder match I had with Generico, I was really sick the next day. Like that day, I came down with the flu. Like I barely made it through the match. And then the next day, I got home. I was laying in bed all day, just sick as hell. And I was watching coverage from, you know, the shooting and on CNN and whatever. And then I remembered, like a year or two before that, I got a Twitter message with, or maybe an email. And all it was a link to, sorry about that, to a video on YouTube. And I clicked it. And I think the video, like the description of the video was just something like, this is for Kevin Steen or something like that. And the video basically opened, this is what I remember of it. It was, and it might not be exactly what the actual video was, but this is what I remember in my head for some reason, because I only watched it once, and that was good enough for me. The video opened in black and white on, it was a couch or a chair, and my music started playing, my theme music, Unsettling Differences by Blue Smock Mansi. They made that song for me. And, the song plays for a couple seconds, and then this guy, shirtless, I believe, just kind of normal-looking guy, sits down on the chair or the couch, whatever, and he's looking at the camera, and then I don't remember if he starts hitting himself with something, or just literally just starts cutting his forehead with something, but he does something that leads to him bleeding while he's staring at the camera all, like, maniacal while my music's playing. And the description, this is for Kevin Steen. Like some sort of weird tribute to me. And then I realized, you know, what if one of these fucks one day just fucking walks into a store with my shirt on and kills somebody? You know what I mean? Like, I would never be able to live with that. And I just kind of realized, you know, I think it's time to move away from this for all these reasons. So that's, you know, the shooting in Connecticut was a big part of it. And then me remembering that video and just seeing that, you know, we never know how we're affecting people out there. And I definitely don't want to affect people in a way that could be negative and lead to something really bad. So I felt like it was time to move away from it. And if anything, fight, Steen, fight. Some people might say, well, you know, you're encouraging violence. But I think I'm encouraging just busting your ass and never giving up in a different way. Obviously, fight, Steen, fight, you know, when I'm in my matches, it's more of a fight than a wrestling match every time, so I feel it fits well, and it works good, but I feel it's it carries a very different tone than Kill, Steen, Kill, and I think it was just time to move away from it. And I've actually had people tell me, oh, why would you do that? I don't get it. I understand the thing about the shooting, but I think it's stupid. People die from fights, too, and I think whoever's saying this is missing the point completely. And that's it, you know. I was actually asked, like, so many times, can you make more Kill, Steen, Kill shirts? Is there ever going to be another Kill, Steen, Kill shirt? Just, you know, just do it. It'll be fine. And I just don't want to. I'm done with it. And you can agree or disagree, but either way, it's not going to change my decision because I feel like that's the right thing to do. So there you go.
I think that's a very fair position, and I think you've articulated it well. So I don't think... I mean, would you say that having a young son also sort of affects this decision as well?
I mean, honestly, this is the thing. Like, I can say it would, but, you know, obviously the shooting, you know, it affects everybody. But as
right.
a parent of kid, I have a kid that was basically the same age as the kids that were involved in the tragedy. You know, it hit me hard. Maybe, I don't know if it's even true that it would hit a parent harder, but I think any human being with a heart is going to get hit hard by something like that. I can't say that having a kid is a real, like, really part of the decision, because when I opened the Twitter account, I had my kid, and when I saw it started catching on, I had my kid, and when I made the t-shirts, I had my kid. It's just, you know, I'm always very careful with Owen for him to understand, you know, what wrestling is and in any types of entertainment, what things are. And, you know, I don't let him watch things that I think will influence him in a bad way. Except I actually recently started letting him watch the show Crash and Bernstein on Disney XD. And it's like a puppet that lives with a kid, and the puppet mooned a teacher in the show, which I was bewildered to see because it was on the Disney Channel.
Really?
But it was funny. And then a week later, my kid mooned his mom. Literally, like, perfectly, too. He made her look away. He said, "What's this?" And she looked away. When she turned around, his pants were down. He was mooning her. It was perfectly executed. That blew my mind. So, and as funny as it was, it still, you know, it kind of made me realize that, hey, what he's watching does influence him. So I was always careful about what I'd let him see and what, you know, making sure, because he's watched my matches and he's watched my wrestling and he watches wrestling, and I'm careful about what I show him. And he's actually, even though he's five, he's actually pretty good about telling me that this is, like, he's seen a match where, to him, that was too much. He's like, "No, I don't want to see this." So, you know, he's kind of good about that, but I can't say that having him really made, like, weighed in on the decision of moving away from the Kilstein kill. I think it's just all those events, and it just makes sense not to talk about killing at this point. And some people might argue it should have made sense a while back, but hey, what can I say? I can only, you know, talk about what I feel right now, and I definitely feel like it's not appropriate anymore. So it's gone. It's done.
Absolutely. So I want to end on, I don't want to end on that serious note. I want to ask, yeah. I know you hate the question about, you know, if you could wrestle any opponents, but I mentioned that you were a zoo enthusiast.
Yes.
And if there is a zoo that you could visit anywhere in the world, what zoo would it be?
I can't say that because I literally love all of them. I want to see, if I could see every zoo in the world, I would. I've been in Baltimore so much over the last 2 years or year and a half because Ring of Honor does the TV tapings there. And we fly in a day early before the tapings. And I've never gotten the chance to go to the Baltimore Zoo, which is crazy because we drive in front of it on our way to the studio. And it drives me crazy every time that it's so close and I can't go. So I guess Baltimore would be at the top of the list just because I've been so close with so many times, never got to visit it. Like I said, I love every zoo. There's a little zoo near Toronto. It's in a city called Orono, like Toronto without the T's. They lost the T's, I guess. I don't know what happened, but there's a little zoo there. It's called Jungle Cat World. Jungle Cat. It's actually, they made me realize the distinction. It's not Jungle Cat World Zoo. It's Jungle Cat World Zoo, because it's a tiny little zoo. So when I called for information and asked about the Jungle Cat World Zoo, they're like, no. It's not the World Zoo of Jungle Cats. It's the World of Jungle Cats Zoo. I'm like, oh, all right. But as tiny as it is, it's a blast because basically the tigers are behind like chain link fence. It seems like he could rip out at any moment and kill you. But I think that's pretty cool. I don't know. They have hyenas. They have wolves. They have all kinds of crazy monkeys. I love that one. I really recommend it to anybody who's around Toronto and hasn't been there before. But, yeah, I love that one. I really loved going to Kobe Zoo when I was in Japan. It was a great one. And I'm actually going to Australia in a few months, and I've already planned, and Colt Cabana doesn't know this, but he'll be over there with me, that I've already planned out our days while I'm there. I'm going to be there for 3 days with him. And at night, obviously, we'll be doing wrestling, but I've already planned a visit at two different zoos, at Koala Park, a reptile zoo, and a aquarium, and he's going to have to come along with me. So, you know, I'm like, what I said on this podcast is the absolute truth. I love going to the zoo, and I don't know, I'll love it for the rest of my life. I'm lucky because my wife is the same as me, so I really, she's a keeper in that way, every way, so it works out good.
Are you as big of an aquarium person as you are a zoo person?
Oh, yeah. Animals, anything. Animals. I love it. Everything.
Do you have
animals at me, I'll be happy.
Do you have a favorite aquarium?
Man, I haven't actually been to a lot of aquariums, but I remember really liking London, the one in London, England, and I went to the one in Long Beach in California. That was pretty impressive as well. But I think this one in Perth that I'm going to be going to in a couple months is probably going to outclass both of them from what I saw on the website. Yeah. I'm really looking forward to it. I'm getting real excited just talking about it, to be honest.
The one in Georgia is apparently really good. I know the one here in Chicago is really good, the Shed.
God, everybody's telling me about all these aquariums and zoos, and it's honestly making my head spin that I haven't been to more zoos as much as I love them. But, you know, it's just part of life. I wish I could go, like Colt has told me, like, how have you not been to Chicago Zoo still? And I don't know. I just, you know, I have a family at home, so I can't really just stay an extra day after a show to go to the zoo. Plus, I wouldn't feel right about going without them anyway. I'm actually kind of really torn about going to so many zoos in Perth, in Australia when I go. But, you know, my wife told me, don't be an idiot. You got to go. You're going to be over there. You know, but I really wish there's, like, that's the first thing I do when I get to a town. I check into the hotel, and there's always this little, you know, the desk with all the little pamphlets. I just grab the zoo and local zoo and aquarium pamphlet and then just look at them in my room and think, fuck, I wish I could go. And then, you know, I have 10 minutes to take a shower and I have to hop in a van to go to a show while daydreaming about going to the zoo. But that's my life. What can I
do? You don't want to know how close the Brookfield Zoo is to the Chicago Ridge venue. It's pretty darn close.
I know it's ridiculously close because I see the sign on the highway when you drive to the show. That's the thing. You don't know how many times this has happened. In a van full of wrestlers heading to a show or heading from one town to another, passing a sign that says zoo and me saying, can we go to the zoo? And then nobody answers because it was cute at first, I think. Now nobody gives a shit. They know. They don't care. I'll say that. They literally ignore it. It's like I'm not even in the car. But I say it every time because maybe one day we're going to be like, you know what? And then put the blinker on like, fuck it, we're going to the zoo. And the best time ever. So I'll keep saying it. Who knows? But yeah, I've seen the Brookfield Zoo sign plenty of times and, you know, complain about not getting to go plenty of times as well. And we'll keep doing so until somebody takes me.
Absolutely. Well, I hope the zoo talk has picked you up and made you happier and less tired.
Yeah, I'm good now. I'm psyched. If there was a zoo open near me, I'd probably go head down there right now. But that's, you know, not happening.
All right, so let's wrap this up. When I promote this podcast, I am going to promote that this is the podcast debut of Owen Steen. I think that's what's getting people to listen.
You should. He made a little run in there.
I mean, beating Excalibur was a big deal, but podcasting, yeah, that's where it's at.
Yeah, he made his Voxer debut. I don't know if people know what Voxer is, but it's basically like an app on the iPhone. It's kind of like a CB radio type of thing. And he made his Voxer debut just a few hours ago when, as I was trying to talk to Colt on it, he started talking over me to Colt and said he was his favorite wrestler. And then Colt said that I was a terrible wrestler, so now my kid thinks I'm the worst wrestler ever. But yeah, so now a night of first for Owen tonight. So big night. Hopefully he'll sleep good.
So why don't you go ahead and plug away your Twitter, your Facebook. Where can we buy some shirts?
I don't have Facebook. I know my webmaster, I don't have a website anymore because it used to be KillSteenKill.com, and I told him I didn't want any part of it anymore. But we're working on getting something else back up. But I know my webmaster, Dan Mitchell, he has a Facebook page or something. I never go on it. I don't like Facebook. I used to have one, and I tried going on it once in a while. It would make my head spin. It's just too much shit thrown at me. I don't care, you know, who did what. I don't care about the picture of the baby that you had, stuff like that. So I don't go on Facebook. I am a Twitter. Somewhat obsessive, my wife would say. It's a handle is Fight Steen Fight. And I think I have almost 25,000 followers there. I'm right on the cusp. So please follow me if you're not following me already, because I want to be able to say one day that I have as many followers as The Rock and brag about it to him. It's not.
He's your best friend on Twitter.
He's not my best friend. He's an acquaintance, I'd like to say. He's a cool dude, I guess, and he's evidently seen some of my wrestling and apparently enjoyed it. So that's really nice to know. And unfortunately, me and him conversing on Twitter has led to so many independent wrestlers tweeting at him now. I really think he hates independent wrestling at this point. I'm wrong. He probably doesn't hate it, but so many guys have been trying to get his attention, which, you know, why not? He is the biggest wrestling star in the world, and I know a lot of people are going to groan at what I just said, but it's still true. I'm not saying he's the best wrestler in the world. Please don't, you know, go crazy, but he's the biggest name in wrestling in the world, I think, and, you know, it was cool.
You're trolling CM Punk fans when you say that. You know that, right?
I'm sorry?
You're trolling CM Punk fans when you say that.
How am I saying no? I'm not saying that Punk's thing is he's the best in the world. So, you know.
I don't care.
I think I'm in a safe territory here. I think I've made the distinction, good enough distinction not to get too much heat.
All right, Kevin.
And, yeah, so that's it. My handle is Feitstein Fight, and please follow me. You can buy T-shirts. I don't have a website to do it right now, but I post on Twitter every few days about, you know, what you can do to buy a T-shirt from me, so keep an eye out for that. And, you know, I've done so many shoots in the last few months. You're bound to enjoy one of them, so go buy them. There's one in Smart Mark Video. There's two in High Spots, one just of me, and there's one with me and Davey together. And I don't know, I'd actually like to plug something. I mean, there's PWG and Ring of Honor, obviously, and I think everybody's aware of those shows. So I'm going to plug the shows that I find them on that don't get as much attention. I've been wrestling for PWX out of North Carolina recently, and I think that's a really good company, and I think a lot of guys should... a lot of fans should try to check it out. I don't think that a lot of fans are aware of it, and I recommend checking some of their shows out. You can go on High Spots, and they're on High Spots TV, and they have iPay-per-view there. You could follow them on Twitter. I believe it's PWX Wrestling 1 is their handle. And also, there's 2CW Square Circle Wrestling out of New York State. They do shows kind of all over the place. They're having a big free iPay-per-view on April 20th. I will be defending my 2CW title against John Morrison. So that's a match I never thought I'd have, and I think it's going to be really interesting. And on the same show as Sami Callihan versus Matt Hardy, and so much more. Spike Dudley is going to be there. And I've actually laid out a challenge for a show that's going to happen in May from 2CW where Terry Funk will be at. And I'm challenging Terry Funk. So let's see what happens there. But like I said, you guys should check it out, 2CWWrestling.com. And, yeah, there you go. That's about as many plugs as I can fit on here.
Yeah, PWX, one of our partners as well. Great company. We've done a number of reviews. And 2CW, hopefully we can get them aboard soon as well. So,
all right.
Thank you very much again. Thank you very much, sir. Have a good night.
Thank you.
So there you have it, our interview with Kevin Steen. He has been everywhere lately. As far as interviews go with Smart Mark Video, High Spots, but like to think that I tried to ask questions that weren't redundant. We talked a lot of PWG and Chikara, a lot of really great stuff. Thanks, Kevin, again for the time. But I want to do some plugs for our website as well as some of what we have coming up. Twitter.com/JeromePWPEditor is the place to find my personal tweets. You can find all of my articles at PWPonderings.com. I review Chikara, PWG, AAW, as well as the Wrestling Is series. Also, Kevin Steen, I review his shoot interview with Davey Richards. That review will come out next week. Please subscribe to our iTunes account, and given the quality of guests that we have had, there's no excuse for you not to be subscribing. We will have a number of podcasts taking place these next couple weeks in relation to WrestleCon. Twitter.com/PWPonderings is the place to find results. I would encourage everyone to go there and to follow us on the Twitter. It is going to be a big deal because we have tons of results coming up at WrestleMania weekend between Ring of Honor, CCW, Shimmer, Chikara, Dragon Gate USA. So many great things. A lot of great stuff. So Twitter.com/PWPonderings. Thank you for the continued support. Please go to iTunes and leave a nice 4 or 5-star review so that everyone can find out what Pro Wrestling Ponderings is all about. So for Kevin Steen, my name is Jerome Cusan. You've been listening to The Interview Show. Thanks.
You too.